And welcome to the Taylor Report. It was a nice introduction, wasn't it? This is CIUT 89.5 FM. I almost said Friday morning. Phil Conlon is here. How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, hello, Phil.
And we're going to be talking with Larry Krotz, filmmaker and author. And his book is Diagnosing the Legacy, the Discovery, Research, and Treatment of Type 2 Diabetes in Indigenous Youth, a very important new book. And we will also be talking today with representative of the Injured Workers Organization. There's going to be a demonstration on June the 1st. Stephen Gowans is coming to town, Phil. I think he's going to be here in Toronto on the 16th and 17th.
That's right. He's in Hamilton tonight at 7 o'clock at the New Vision United Church. He'll be at McMaster tomorrow at 12:30. At the Student Center, room 220. Stephen Gowans will be at a different book list on Wednesday night at 7 p.m., 779 Bathurst Street, and he will be
at McMaster University tomorrow, 12:30 on the 15th.
Yeah, right, that's
at
tomorrow.
The Student Center.
Yes,
room
said that. Yeah.
220. Did you say that?
I did say that. Okay. And then there's also another appearance.
I never listened to the show, so
no.
Okay.
That's because you're an artist.
Right.
When your work is done, it's done.
Exactly. Artist is going to be a hard title. So you've got to remember, of course, Steve Gowans has got this important new book, Patriots, Traitors, and Empires, The Story of Korea's Struggle for Freedom. You call that a timely book, because about the time he's here, we're awfully close to a promised meeting between Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. And who saw that coming? It's if he promised new things, he's certainly delivering on that part of his platform. We have a correction on the last week on the show. commented on the World War II and the ending. We were celebrating the capture of Berlin, and we had a very nice letter from a scholar who listens to us. We're very proud of our listeners, and he was complimentary about our general program, but he wanted to make a couple of points. And he said, he appreciates that we like details and facts. And so he said, thus, when I've heard in today's segment that in 1945, Berlin was conquered by Belarusian and Ukrainian armies, I decided to write a short note of correction. There were no Belarusian and Ukrainian armies fighting in the battle for Berlin. There were Belarusian and Ukrainian fronts within Red Army structure, and their names had nothing to do with the nationality of the soldiers fighting within these formations, but geographical location where they were positioned on the Eastern Front. Further to the south, Ukrainian, to the north from it, Belarusian. To say that Ukrainian army was taking part in the Battle of Berlin would be the same like saying that Ukrainians liberated Auschwitz, Krakow, and Silesia. It was Ukrainian front of the Red Army advancing through southern Poland that accomplished all these tasks. Now, if one really wants to distinguish between the nationalities fighting the Battle of Berlin, you can safely say that there were two armies that conquered this city, Soviet and Polish. Both flags, red and white and red, were flying on the Brandenburger Tor. I guess that's gate, isn't it, Phil?
That's the Brandenburg Gate, yes, that's right.
In May of 1945, since both nations fought together, Germans on the Eastern Front, and reached their capital. I thought it would be appropriate to remember this fact in time of celebration of this victory and the end of the Second World War. And we really agree. We're glad that he did write to us. And we are yet to be joined, but we hope to be joined shortly by David Newbury of the Injured Workers Advocates. By the way, Phil, there's going to be a demonstration on June 1st about the injured worker. There is an Injured Workers Day.
That's right. There's a day in commemoration of those who died on the job or lost their health on the job, which is in late April. And, of course, every year the trade union movement tries to really promote observation of this day, acknowledgement of the day. People wear ribbons, and of course, every year the employers try not to promote the day. I mean, many unions actually ask for the day as a holiday in collective bargaining, but we're still waiting for that breakthrough to, to who the first employer is going to give in on that point. But it is a it's an annual reminder that the extraordinarily large toll of people who are disabled or crippled or actually killed by industrial accidents or die of industrial diseases, diseases that are directly linked to what they do for a living.
Now, this is, since I can remember, this organization was founded, I think, in 1969, and the issue has always been a couple of three. One is ideas of the predisposition towards a problem. In other words, you get injured on the job, and they say, according to us, you had a predisposition for that.
Yes.
Then there's the issue of what doctors can have any say. And it's basically, in the old days, before the government got involved, it was the so-called company doctor. And he would tell you, I know I have a couple of injured workers in my family tree. And then, and now instead of it being the company doctor, it's a state doctor. And I don't know that injured workers think they've you know, accomplish much. I think what we'll do is take a brief musical break, if we could, and our favorite guy, Lee Morgan, or whomever, and we will see if we can locate our first guest here.